Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wisdom and the Tangents podcast. I am your host, John Mansfield. I am a photographer and business coach, and this show is for you. This show is where I bring in other photographers, business coaches, life coaches, other experts in whatever field they're an expert in, and we just have candid conversations about the industry, about life, and we run down so many different tangents, but there's always some wisdom in there somewhere. And today I have a good friend of mine on the show, and I am very excited for this episode, for y'all to listen to this. My friend Kurt Tubin is on the show. We are talking about how to fill your calendar during the slow season, which I've talked to a lot of y'all and a lot of other photographers here locally in Texas. And 2024 is shaping up slowly, it seems, for a lot of people. So I feel like this is going to be a really great episode. Kerr dives into a ton of different things you can do to really set yourself up for success during the slow season and bring in more leads when you're just, you know, looking at crickets on the calendar. Also, side note, if you're listening to this the week that it comes out, Kurt and I are both at the Hybrid Collective in Dripping Springs, Texas. So if you're also there, if you're attending or speaking or whatever, if you're listening and you're like, hey, wait, I'm there, come say hey. We always like seeing people in person. I always like to meet y'all and get to see your face in 3D. It's so much more fun than just the little tiny one on Instagram. But yeah, if you're at Hybrid, come say hey. We're here till Thursday. And yeah, let's get into my conversation with Kerr. It's great. I'm sure you're going to love it. I love recording at night because I'm always like, it's the end of the night and I'm a little delirious. So I feel like this is good. And this is like, I don't know. I'm looking forward to this. But yeah.
Wisdom in the Tangents, Loose Lips Edition.
Yes, yes, Loose Lips, sinking all the ships out there. But yeah, Kerr, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Loose Lips Edition of Wisdom in the Tangents.
Thanks for having me. Love to be here. Yeah. Can't wait to, you know, get real, chat it up. Let's give the people what they want. Let's talk some business.
Let's talk some business. Yes. Ooh, And speaking of giving the people what they want, I've been asking the listeners to send in questions that I will just randomly pick something and ask the guests. So let's start with that. Let's see. Jamie sent in a question. Let's see. She said, what's one thing that you did in the beginning of your business that you would absolutely never do again if you had to start over?
Never do again.
Never do again.
Oh man, this answer is going to be such a bummer. I kind of regret naming my business after myself.
Ooh.
Which is, in the age of coming up in like 2015, I am now dating myself, but I've been in the business for like a decade ish.
Yeah.
It was the like Caitlin James cult. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but there was this photographer who like named her business after herself, and she's fantastic, like tons of free resources, like 10 out of 10, amazing businesswoman. Mm-hmm. So I was like sipping the Kool-Aid and like, okay, of course I'm going to name my business after myself. And while it is very easy to grow early on because you are the face of your business, you brand yourself, essentially you're a personal brand. And I do think it helped get me to where I am today. Now as a mid 30 something lady, I have associates and it is very difficult. I wouldn't say very difficult, but it is challenging to brand your associates underneath a name that is yours.
Yeah.
Because people want to work with Kerr of Kerr Tubin Photography. Yeah. So when I send Abby or Katie, they're like, who dat? Even though I talk about them and they're on my website and that's that kind of thing. It's just interesting. It's a choice to become a personal brand. And I wish I had like thought more critically about that. Of course, I wasn't thinking about scaling at all because I just wanted people to pay me like any amount of money for me to like live my passion, oh, yeah, do my dream. But yeah, if you're ever thinking about scaling, it is, I almost wish I had like a generic, more umbrella-y term because it would be easier to scale. That would be my piece of advice for young me.
Yeah, no, I feel you, because I almost, because that was, I really only knew maybe three photographers that whenever I first started my business, because it was 2013 is whenever I started thinking about like, I should probably do this. If I want to do this for like a job, I need to start a business name. And yeah, there was Caitlin James, there was Jasmine Starr and Jenna Kutcher, and all of them named after themselves. And I was like, do I want to be John Mansfield Photography? And I didn't like the way that it sounded. And for whatever reason, I was like, what if I want to scale this someday and like hire on other people? I'm going to have to, yeah, I was just like in the courtyard.
Round of applause. You can also eventually gift your business to your children. Yes. Not that I have any. I'm sure my dog doesn't want to take over my company.
If you can teach your dog how to take photos, you'll be the most successful business.
I mean, truly, if I could. But yeah, so that is, and now it's, I'm too deep in it to like rebrand. That said, though, there are plenty of successful businesses named after themselves that have scaled, like a la Martha Stewart, right? Oh, yeah. Like you're not expecting Martha to roll up with your bread maker, right?
I am, but that's fine.
There's a lot of ways to do it, but that would be my advice.
Yeah, no, I think that's good advice. Good advice to at least like think about it. Like you can still name your business after yourself, but you know, at least like think about it and weigh the pros and cons and see what you want to do. So cool. I like it. Okay. So now that we know that, tell us a little bit about Kerr. Tell us about you, what you do, where you're based, all those things.
Fun things. Okay. So yeah, my full name is actually Kirsty, but everybody butchers it. So I go by Kerr.
Do they all say Kirsty?
Yeah, Kiersey, Kristen. Yeah. It's a tough thing. Yeah. I actually have a sister named Christian as well, which is just like, it was very like 80s thing to name your child this kind of genre of name.
Also with a K?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
We're not the Kardashians either. I have like three other very normal named sisters. But anyway, so yeah, I have a lot of sisters and I live in Washington, D.C. and I am a wedding photographer. I have two cats and a dog and a husband, and I do a little bit of destination, but I burned out on that real quick, like years 1 through 5. So I love to just roll out of bed and drive 15 minutes from my house and shoot at a gorgeous DC venue or Virginia winery. What else? I am like 100% obsessed with my job. So I don't have a ton of hobbies. I did swim in college competitively. And we love movies, like huge movie buffs.
What's one of your main genres you go to with the movies?
I would say horror. We have been like super into horror lately in my youth, I didn't like horror because I didn't understand it. But now as an adult, it's such a creative medium that you can do so much more interesting, weird stuff that's like underscored actually how it is in society. Like the movie Barbarian is freaking amazing. We just watched Poor Things last night.
Barbarian was insane.
So, Poor Things, not really a horror movie, but like very psychedelic, little bit gory. So I like a little bit of like freak show type movies, if that's
right up my alley. I love all of that. Cool. I loved like that. I had no idea what Barbarian was going to be about. And then it just like kept changing. And I was like, what is this movie now? And it was a good one.
All the twists, all the turns. It's incredible. So I actually worked on a movie set. I worked for Paramount Pictures for a summer.
Nice.
And I loved it. But every time a movie wraps, you like have to go to a new project. So it felt like very unstable work for me, which is how I kind of ended up doing weddings and working for myself, which like doesn't always feel stable.
Yeah, I was gonna say also not the most stable.
So I decided entrepreneurship was my journey. Yeah. I always think about like what that would have looked like had I stayed in the movies. And I honestly think it would have like ruined the magic a little bit. So I'm glad to be just like a casual fan onlooker.
Yeah. I hear that from like celebrity podcasts where they're like talking about how they can't watch movies without analyzing all the things or being like, well, I wonder like what take this was, or you know do they have whatever going on, is that their double, is that the back of the double's head right now, or is this yeah, and all of that kind of like analytical stuff, and you just can't really enjoy the movies anymore. So yeah, probably
my is a like AD, or like she helps with direction and like photography and all that stuff on sets. And she was like the hands of one of the main characters in a television show. Like anytime it cuts to a cell phone, like you're not actually recording the famous people's hands. Right. Those are always like doubles hands. So she was like this male doubles hand, which is hilarious. But anyways, DP, that's what she was doing. She was DPing.
That's fun. Yeah.
Anyways, that's me.
Yeah. Awesome. I am also a huge horror movie fan. And I don't have a lot of horror movie people in my life. So I'm going to be like, we're going to be in sync. Just like anytime that you're going to go like watch a new, like I want to see Poor Things because that looks really good.
Have you seen The Babadook? I feel like we're not talking about business at all. And we need cool. to like,
this is a tangent. But, we're supposed to be tangent.
But yeah, The Babadook. Have you seen that?
Yes. Oh yeah. That one was very good. Have you seen what is it called? Cabin Fever, I think.
I've seen Cabin in the Woods. I don't know if I've seen Cabin Fever. Was it good?
Maybe it was Cabin in the Woods. Oh yeah, Cabin Fever is a different one. That was a long time ago. With like,
isn't Cabin Fever also a video game that they just came out with where it's like you play through the horror and it's like half movie, half game?
I think so.
Because I did play that. Okay. So I'm like, I don't want to get this nerdy, but like, yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But Cabin in the Woods is the like kind of plot twisty one. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And I don't want to like give it away. Right. But yeah.
Yeah. That one I thought was so good. Like it was just a completely different kind of horror movie that I was just like, oh, this is amazing. And whatever his name is that played, I think his name was Josh in The West Wing, was just like super witty. And he was one of the people underground, not to give anything away, but I love that. Okay, cool. Yeah, I could honestly talk horror movies all day, but we won't do that to the listeners. Not this episode. We'll do a bonus episode or something.
Sure.
But great. But yeah, let's talk about filling calendars. I know that for a lot of people, 2025 is just kind of like filling up slowly, and couples are different. I know in the wedding industry, especially like here in Texas, it's just kind of like there was that huge rush after all the COVID reschedules in like 21 and 22, just like booming, and everyone was getting married. And then 2023 kind of slowed down a little bit, and then this year and next have kind of been a little slow. Is that about the same up in the DC area?
Yeah. So in my mind, there's like three or four things happening. The first thing is like the lifespan of a typical wedding is 3 years, because you meet, you date, you get engaged, and you get married. And those things typically have like a 3 year lifespan. And what was like 3 or 4 years ago? 2020. Yeah. So like not a ton of people were out there meeting, getting some strange, you know what I mean? When we're all like locked down. So there's a lack of couples like getting into the wedding process now. Second thing is it's going to feel like a lack because some people don't remember what it was like booking in 2019, pre-boom. Because like you could trip over a wedding in 2021 because of all the reschedules. So it's kind of leveled out and gone back to like pre-pandemic days where it feels a little like feast or famine, but it's literally just the same amount of volume before this like double booking situation happened. Another thing that happened is the great resignation. So people quit their day jobs and were like, I'm going to learn a skill, or I'm going to become a photographer. And I hate the excuse that the market is saturated, because that's stupid. And there's a wedding for everybody. There's like millions and millions a year. So like using that the competition is out there and that the market is flooded is stupid, but that did happen. And then the fourth thing that is messing with people's head, well, also like the looming threat of recession, which has been going on for quite some while now. So like that might be 25. But there's been a style shift, absolutely, between what was cool and trendy and popular and what like publications are pushing now, and what a lot of like I'm like calling them the Maddies, which is funny and not funny at the same time. There's a lot of young baby photographers that came up in 2020 or 2021 as their first or second year in business, and they are doing like direct flash. They are having transmitters on their cameras and holding their flash. They're doing blurry all the time. They're mm-hmm. doing not flat lays, but like lived in lifestyle details where like a shoe is on a sconce. Like, okay, that was just there. Yeah. So the
maybe
aesthetic
at, maybe at the end of the night, but definitely not before the ceremony.
I mean, I don't, who knows? But it's all documentary, am I right? So anyways, not to, I mean, it's, some of it is beautiful and cool, but I'm saying like these couples are inundated with new, right? Like what's cool, what's the trend, what do they like, what is timeless? And TikTok is pushing a new trend every 5 seconds. The trends are becoming so new and fast and cyclical that we're already on to the next thing. As soon as you hear about like mob wife aesthetic, it's like old hat and you can't do it anymore. Like heart sunglasses are out, but now they're back in, and now this is in. So I think a lot of couples have like ADD almost. Oh, yeah. Because they'll plan a wedding and then they'll see something on TikTok in those 6 or 12 months and they'll completely want to pivot or fall in love with the new design or style. And a ton of these celebrities are hiring multiple wedding teams. So multiple different styles. They have like a classic and a documentary and then like paparazzi style. So they're getting everything, and our normal human being couples are expecting their one photography team to span the gamut of all these different styles. And it's become challenging to book because of style changes, because of volume, because of market saturation. Like it's everywhere and everyone, and it's hurting people.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you bring up a lot of good points. This is like a ton of different things all working together. That's just changing it to where it's not like we just like went back to 2019. It's like, oh yeah, no, it's cool. Like this will just be regular booking. It's fine. I can do the same old marketing that I used to, or that I didn't used to do. And I just post it on social media. Cause I don't feel like just posting on social media is really cutting it anymore. Like it used to 5-7 years ago when you could just like show up on Instagram and then throw out some good photos and people are like, oh, these are amazing. I will hire you. It's not quite like that anymore.
Yes. And I think too, because you have to think about who you're marketing to, right? Mm-hmm. So who are the people that typically get married? And this is just a statistic. It's not like fact, but it's typically people ages from 24 to like 30, 31. Yeah. And the people in that bubble now are my little sister's generation. Like they're not my generation anymore. And if you look at my little sister's Instagram, she has 3 photos. She's literally never on the app. Yep. And she lives on Snapchat and YouTube and TikTok. So, that's not to say that all of your inquiries are coming from couples. Like very rarely is it like direct sales, but if that's what you're trying to do, then you got to think about like who you're marketing to and where they're spending time online. And that's why Instagram has felt so like defeating to many of the humans I've been talking to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that we don't really think about is like, you know, for a while, like we were in, like I'm 35 and like I was in that bracket, that 24 to 31 for a while, because I started the business when I was 24. Yeah. So I was like right at the beginning of that. So I was in there for a long bit, and I was like, where I was hanging out was where most of my couples were, because we were around the same time, same age. And now I'm like, well, I still like Instagram, and a lot of the 30 somethings still like Instagram, but that's not where a lot of our clients are, because they're in other places. Like you said, with like Snapchat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Snapchat was still a thing until someone asked me what my Snap was. And I was like, are we still Snapchatting? Is that?
Yes, you are. That. That's all they're doing. Yeah. And if you hate it, like I do, I will not be getting on TikTok personally. I will not dance. Video content is not for me. I'm not in love with it. That's why I'm a photographer, not a videographer. Hire someone young, hire some 20 something as an intern, or pay them well, which I would prefer you do, and have them speak to that clientele. But before you do that, before we like launch into marketing on social media, I think that everybody should like take a step back and track their leads from the past year. I know it's a pain in the butt. I know as entrepreneurs, that sucks, because all we want to do is take pretty pictures. But so my husband works for Hilton and he does like data statistics reporting and analysis. And so you need to know like where your leads are coming from, when they're coming in, and who they're coming from, and if they book you or not. So like, and then you can have data, actual concrete numbers onto like where to put my energy. Because for me, mine are coming from mostly planners and then word of mouth / past clientele. That is my, like, 45% of my weddings are coming from them. Then if you go like another level down, it's like venues / other word of mouth. And then if you go another level down, it's Instagram. And you don't have to be doing every single social media platform. In fact, if you hate something, it's going to be obvious. I have a girlfriend that doesn't have an Instagram and she makes $1 million sales a year just from her Facebook group, like her boudoir Facebook group. So there's different ways that you can do it. You don't have to do everything. You just have to do the one that makes you the least miserable, because that's where you will probably show up authentically. Uh-huh. And then outsource the things that you don't like, and then figure out where your leads are actually coming from, and then pour your energy and your marketing and your money into that.
Yeah.
So like I like love my relationship with my planner friends. I make sure to like spoil them. Either like you don't have to like send randos gifts out of nowhere, because that makes no sense. But just like on wedding day, like show up super ready, or like do sneak peeks for them, or like submit to publication for them, or like, you know, interact with them organically. And same thing with past clients, like gift them, friend all of their bridesmaids or groomsmen, like make sure that they know that they're loved, go above and beyond for them. And they will be like your biggest champions. Anytime I post something that's like a little, I wouldn't say cringe, but like emotionally, like I'm putting myself out there, my biggest cheerleaders are my past brides and grooms.
Yeah.
They're always like, oh my God, it's so great to see you. Like, you were the best. Like more so than like my parents, like my grooms and my brides are like cheering me on. So just like find out where your revenue streams are coming from. And that's where you put your money and your investment.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't have like maybe a CRM that tracks that kind of stuff, how would you recommend them doing that? If
an Excel spreadsheet will do it, my man.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Like literally just track your inquiries. I mean, I have Show It. So like you can just go through like when your Show It thing comes up, and literally every time an inquiry comes in, you open your little Excel spreadsheet, you like type the date, type the couple, type where they found you from. And then at the end of that, there's a little thing that says booked, yes or no. And then you can say if you booked it. And then at the end of the year, you can just have, you can color code it like a true Virgo that I am. You can see like, oh, green is planner and like orange is venue and this is Instagram. Like, so you can just visually see like, oh my gosh, there's a ton of green here.
We all want more time in our life. I mean, think about it. It's one of the best seasonings. I can't imagine a shepherd's pie without some thyme. What was that? Oh, yeah. No, that makes more sense. Okay. We all want more time in our life. Time is finite. It's a construct. But what if I told you you could create your own time? Not exactly, but pretty close. Since I've been using Imagine AI to edit my photos, I have gotten hours and hours of time back that I would have just been sitting in front of my computer, click, click, clicking away, editing all the photos. But now I can use those hours to work on my business, to bring in more leads, or for some leisure time playing Super Mario, trying to beat that one level that I can't. It's those freaking ghosts. They get me every time. Okay, so this is how it works. With Imagine AI, you upload your photos and it reads everything and learns how you took it from the raw files to the edited images. And it will learn to edit just like you. I've already uploaded over 16,000 images and every single catalog I get back is better than the next. If you want to get your time back and get your first 1,500 images edited for free, go to allheartphoto.com/AI. That's allheartphoto.com/AI and create more time. All right, now I'm hungry. Yes, yes. And ask people where they heard of you from. Like, even if it's after they already book you, like, just be like, oh yeah, how'd you hear about me? Because sometimes they'll just say like, oh, I found you online whenever, because I have it like in my contact form so that it's super easy for me to track that. And then once I actually ask them in person, they're like, oh yeah, no, a friend of mine, or I was at a wedding that you shot like 3 years ago. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go update that now, because that is a total different set of data. But but no, like that is so important to know those numbers and to know those statistics of just like, if you're putting all of your effort into social media or like into your blog, but then like SEO and search engine is not really working for you and you're not getting people just finding you on Google and they are coming in through planners, it's like, oh, well, like take all that time and energy that you're putting in other places and put it into cultivating those relationships with planners. And like you said, like showing up early and like serving them. I have a question, or not a questionnaire, but just an email that I send out to all the vendors before the wedding and just like let them know, little introduction of who I am and that I'm going to be the photographer. I'm like, are you super excited about anything at this wedding that you want some photos of? Like, I'll take them for you. And I've had so many planners and so many other vendors too that are just like, no other photographer has ever done this. And like, we just want to work with you from now on. Like,
yeah,
let's do it.
That's so cute that you do that.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, I think now I know most of the vendors that I'm working with. So if I know like Sweet Roots on my wedding and they're doing like an arch, I'm obviously going to be like all about it. And yeah, they get my back. You know what I mean? Like they'll bring me styling blooms. And so we'll have like that kind of rapport. But yeah, that's super sweet. Cause I can't imagine doing it for all the vendors in DC. Cause we have like 40 vendors per one wedding and everybody has like, they would love their, like, I'll do a branding session mid wedding. I'm like, no, I'm actually there for the clients, but
oh yeah.
So it's hard to find between like, yeah, spoiling everyone and spoiling your clients and then like also trying to breathe and like eat your vendor meal in the dark closet like an hour late. So
oh yeah, 100%. Oh yeah, mostly it's just to like build that connection because I'm going to be taking those detail photos anyway.
That's awesome.
And it's like, yeah, I was going to take a picture of the cake anyway, baker lady, but yes, now she's like, oh, I know that he's going to take a good picture of the cake. So I'm going to look forward to these photos.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, love that. Was something that our mutual, that I now know that you also know Adam Mason, which makes sense because DC, and I never put that together for whatever reason. Also DC's.
We all know. Yeah. But yeah, I would also say like, in terms of like filling up your calendar is thinking about like, timelines of stuff. So, Hilton, I know I keep talking about this freaking company, but it's the only like corporate reference that I have because that's where my husband
is. Yeah.
They have different pricing for different days. So not all photographers do this. I actually do not do this, but if you're struggling or worried or something, there could be like off peak pricing for you. Like in DC, it's different in Texas, obviously, because it's like hotter than the sun there. But in DC, like we typically don't shoot in the winter. So our off season is like maybe Thanksgiving until like the cherry blossoms pop in like late March, and then spring season really picks up. And then there's a kind of a lull in like July because it's really hot and nobody wants to get married and sweat outside, right? So if a client comes to me with like a January, February wedding and I'm inclined to work in the winter, like that's a place that I can like give them a break or like throw in a rehearsal dinner hour coverage or some type of like additional hour at their engagement session to like really like bring it home. I'm not a huge fan of like discounts because that can lead to like undercutting and like not having boundaries for yourself. So like, I would try to avoid that. But if you make some like hard and fast rules for yourself, like I really want to fill up more winter, then you can have a little bit more flexibility there. But most of my weddings book anywhere between like 12 and 18 months out. So I'm doing a huge push for 2025 spring right now. I'm done booking 24. That's not to say there's not a ton of beautiful possibilities that you all could still get your 24 calendars booked, but I have stopped marketing for this year's couples. And I have focused on spring of 25, which is why all of my feed looks like spring right now. And I'm posting like in venues that I want to work in. And I'm reminding planners that I still exist and taking them to lunch and talking to my past brides about like, oh, your friend's engaged. Like that kind of thing is happening now. And then same thing when fall hits, I'm really pushing for like 2025 fall. So I'm always thinking like 12 months ahead.
Yeah. I think that's, you mentioned that about like your feed looks very spring right now. And I think a lot of times I think a lot of times that we get in that like, oh, I have to like post the last wedding that I shot. Like that's what my feed has to be right now. And you kind of get into that like where you're always like marketing behind, where you're posting winter weddings right now because we're going into spring and you've been shooting winter weddings, and then you know, no one's booking you for like, if you're like right now, like in Texas, like our summer is just like crickets because it is insanely hot. And for whatever reason, a lot of the venues here are just like, oh yeah, outdoor ceremony at sunset. It's amazing. Except when it's 110 degrees and it's not so amazing. So like
sun, yeah. Yes. Getting married on the surface of the sun.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. No, thank you. Not at all. But like, that is something really great to think of when marketing on social media, or even like switching out the photos on your website, is like, who are you marketing toward right now? Who, like, what time of year, what do those weddings look like? And then show that. And it is totally cool to post photos that you took 2, 3, 5, 7 years
Ten.
Ago.
10, baby. Ten. Oh, yeah. That is the proof of a timeless wedding photo. I'm like, I'm going into the depths.
Yes.
And I think I have this conversation. I actually just had this conversation today with a mentee girlfriend of mine. You are thinking too hard about your content if you're not just constantly pushing something out. Like, done is better than perfect. You should not be stewing on your Instagram post because nobody is looking at it. Like, nobody cares as much as you care. So like, who cares what the engagement is? Just like, push the content out there. More is more. The way that I described it, I was actually watching, rewatching New Girl. I don't know why I like go through a rewatch of that almost like once a year. And there's this scene where she's trying to take home a guy. She's like competing with Jessica Biel at this wedding. And Winston tells her to like Biden his ass, which I think is hilarious because he was not president at the time of this taping. But it's like, you just be there. Like, he goes to the bathroom, you be there. Like, he goes to the bar, you're right there getting a drink. Like, you're just always there. You're always top of mind. You're like not going away. And I think that's such a brilliant marketing strategy. Just to constantly be pushing out. Like, you can't ignore me because of the volume of stuff I am putting in your face. Like, my blog post is out there. I'm repinning stuff. Like, I'm posting every single morning on Instagram at 9:30 a.m. And I don't even care if the Gen Zers are there or not. Like, because it's a free opportunity to advertise. So if you're not taking advantage of that, you're absolutely friggin' nuts. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, we get too in our heads about, oh, well, I have to cultivate the perfect thing. And like, well, I have this photo that I want to post, but now like, I got to figure out the best caption, and it needs to have a good CTA in there so that I can get them like engaging, and just post it. Cause posting it is better than not posting it, because there have been seasons where I went through that perfectionism stage and I was just like, it has been 8 days since I have posted anything.
Yep.
And then I just post something and then people like it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Done is better than perfect. And also, perfect is boring. Like, if I see the perfect Instagram post, I almost prefer when things are like misspelled. I'm like, huh, she was typing this in line at Starbucks. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a human, there's a human element of it to see somebody with like thousands of followers get like 2 likes on a photo because they posted it of their kid or their dog. Like, to me, that's actually what I want to see. So yeah, but I also want to briefly talk about like multiple revenue streams. I could talk about this for like 10 hours about supplemental income and multiple revenue streams, because I think what happens is a lot of people put their full, like what I call whole hog energy into weddings. And then when they only book X number of weddings, they're terrified, and then they need to get a 9-to-5 because it's like feast or famine time. But if you have like boudoir or family or maternity or studio rental or like PDFs that you're selling or like education that you're selling, like whatever it is, multiple income streams. I have a girlfriend that sells like knitting stuff. So like, just if you don't feel beholden or like kind of boxed in by one revenue stream, you'll feel more confident to like pass on weddings that aren't like your perfect fit, or you won't feel the pressure to like give a discount because the second you do, another wedding that would have paid you full price will come along. So it's less of like a scarcity mindset when you have like just options for yourself, whether that be for like people inquiring in different ways. You're not just beholden to planners. You're not just beholden to Instagram, because if Instagram goes down in a Mr. Robot type society, you can rely on, you know, your other streams of revenue and inquiry forms. So I think that that is like super important to mention, just in case we didn't get to it.
Oh yeah. No, I think so too. And I think one of the worst things that came out of like the last 5 years or so is that like you have to niche down. You have to only do one thing, because so many people only did one thing and they were out there. Like even I did this a little bit where I was doing family photos and I was doing like pet photos, and I would do pet photos all the time. I would have like mini sessions and they'd be booked out. And then I was like, oh no, I need to niche down. I need to only do weddings. And then 2020 happened and we couldn't shoot weddings anymore. And I had nothing else to fall back on. And I was like, well, I can't do families. I can't do, like, I haven't even been working on like in-person sales. I haven't been working on my albums, anything like that. And like, there's so much that we, whenever you do have all of your focus on one thing, if that one thing.
Yep. Terrifying. It could be terrifying.
I think we touched on a lot. I think there's a lot of good information there for the listeners to go and start doing things to bring in that extra work and get their calendar filled, whether it is their one thing that they're doing or hopefully branching out into multiple streams of income.
Yes, you said pet photography, and I do families, and I don't show them at all, but I make a ton of money, and I also have a rental, like a studio space that I make a ton of money from. So if I never touch a camera again, like I'm Gucci, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think diversifying your income, and my God, work your network, like hardcore, go to networking events in person if you can. If you don't live in a city, invite people to lunch, maybe not to like pick their brain for free, but try to grow together. Right. Like try to rise up with somebody. You're not going to come out the gate working with Lynn Easton and Marcy Blum. You know what I mean? So just find the people that are at your level or even like maybe a little bit younger than you in business and like build something cool together, because it will feel awesome doing that. So those are my like lasting final words. And if people have questions, they can email me or DM me or come find me in Texas with you.
I love it. Okay. Awesome. Really quick thing before we wrap up. I have a thing where we talk about what we're loving this week. Can be literally anything. So what are you loving this week?
What am I loving this week? Oh my God, I already talked about Poor Things, which is exactly what I'm loving. But I am loving taiyaki, which is like this. My husband and I went to Japan last April, and it's this like fish-shaped waffle. It does not taste like fish, and I could actually be mentioning the name because it's 11 o'clock here, but it's like a custard-filled waffle. And we just found something called Rice Culture in Vienna that does them. And it is fire. Like Japanese baked goods are it. I don't know if anyone's told you, but they have a lock on sweets and it is incredible. Yes.
They're very good. I think I've had that before. I don't remember where, but the fish shaped waffle. I'm like, I feel like that has to be the only fish shaped waffle thing. Yeah.
It's very memorable. They also make this thing called melon pan, which I have not been able to find in the States, but it is like a piece of bread, but they put cookie dough over it, like sugar cookie dough, and then they bake it and it crackles and it looks like melon, but it is sinfully delicious. But what are you loving?
That sounds really good. That sounds really tasty. I am loving the Twilight Zone. I did not know that they came out with new, like they did a new like reboot or rebrand or whatever a few years ago with Jordan Peele as the narrator.
Oh, and it's good.
And it's really good. I'm like maybe 4 or 5 episodes in, and each one is very solid, great stories, good twists. And it has that same kind of like Twilight Zone feel if you watch the old school ones.
I'll have to give it a watch, because I feel like Black Mirror really took that niche for me. Like I was like, oh, some Twilight Zone like wasn't really my vibes. Like some of the episodes, I'm like, meh. Uh-huh. So I do like a little bit of like weird kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's yeah, it's more leaning toward like this new one is more toward Black Mirror than it is the old okay. like 70s Twilight Zone.
Have you seen 6 Feet Under?
The show, the TV show?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I had never seen it before, but I've been really been really into death recently. just like as a concept, I watched this show called The Midnight Gospel, and it's like a podcast that was then cartoonified by Pendleton Ward, who's the same guy that did Adventure Time. Yeah. And they talk a lot about like death and dying, but also like drugs. It's very interesting. And so I was like, huh, I've never watched 6 Feet Under. It's about like, you know, morticians. And I was like, what would it be like to embalm someone? So I've been also really feeling that.
I feel like you and I are one and the same. Just like, these are all things like my grandparents bought a house that used to be an undertaker's house. And like it was set up to where the rooms downstairs were like showrooms for the bodies for people to like come in and like do their wakes and everything. And then everyone just lived upstairs. And yeah, it's a it was a little bit haunted and they don't live there now.
Of course.
Like, yeah. I was like, if you have that many dead people coming in and out of your house, you've got to have some ghosts laying around.
Of course they do. That is absolutely wild. Again, could talk about this at length, but I do want to hear some like Texas horror stories when we're down there. Cause I'm sure there are many.
I have some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you all about the haunted house that I used to live in. So that'll be one of the late nights. while you're here in Texas. Own
podcast, I'm telling you.
Actually, I was on another podcast and I talked about all of that. It's called What's Your Weird Story? And I have no idea what episode I was on. But yeah, I just talked about that and all the ghosts and weird things.
You
need
to find it. Well, did you ever listen to My Favorite Murder?
I love My Favorite Murder. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so like it's like hometown murders, basically, is like what you're describing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I haven't been able to find like the actual like names of the people who were killed in the house that I used to live in, but it did happen. And while I lived there, the guy that did it got out of prison, and I was just like, I hope he didn't leave anything here like hidden in a wall or something.
Go to the public library and look up the news? I'm sure there was like a news story on it.
I'm sure there probably was, and I could do that, but I live like an hour and a half away from there now. So I don't know. One of these days I will definitely go there, or maybe once that city has gotten internet and put everything online, I'll be able to find it.
can't wait. Can't wait for the day. Excited.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Kerr, tell people where they can find you, where they can follow along and chat and say, hey.
The World Wide Web, the internet. If you just type in Kerr, K-I-R, the number 2, and then B-E-N, you will find me on Instagram, on Facebook, on the TikTok, because I did make my little sister do that for a while for me. You can find me on Google, on Pinterest, on all the things. I'm everywhere, baby. Kurt Tuben, just come find me.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'll have links to most of those in the show notes for everyone. Maybe not your TikTok, since
please don't, please don't. but yeah, and then in person at Hybrid with you, and I'm speaking at like an AMV retreats in Italy and Miami this year. Yeah. So those are my in-person IRL moments.
Nice. Well, sweet. Well, cool. Well, thanks for being on the show. I really enjoyed this. Our on again, off again chat this evening. Thanks to my computer.
The loose lips and wonky internet connection made it the best possible.
We knew it was going to be wild from the beginning.
Yeah, ranch water aside, that's the only thing missing.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wisdom and the Tangents podcast. As always, you can check out all the show notes right here, wherever you are listening to this podcast. I put all the show notes right here for you. You don't have to go anywhere else, but you can also go check out some free resources and other things that we have at podcast.allheartphoto.com. And be sure to give Kerr a follow on social media. If you like to follow us, you can follow us. All those links are also in the show notes and the episode description, wherever you're listening to this. Subscribe to the show if you're not already. That way you don't miss a single episode. I've got another great one for you tomorrow. No, next week. I'm not doing a daily podcast. This is not the daily. I've got a great one for you next week. Another interview, another great conversation with Taryn Rochelle. And we are talking about system mistakes that you are probably making in your business. And this one is loaded, so full of goodness. If you are just kind of flying by the seat of your pants and like, I don't know what my systems are. I don't even know what to do. For sure, you're making some of these mistakes. And even if like I was talking to her of just like, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on my systems. And just talking to her, I was like, oh, yeah, I need to change that. That is probably a mistake that I'm making. So tune in next week for Taryn Rochelle. That is it for this week. Have an amazing week, and I will see you back here in your podcast player on Monday. Bye, y'all.